Welcome, everybody. I'm excited to do this again. It's been a journey. What I like about these conferences, when you're chosen as a workshop speaker, it's always a challenge. It's a process. And the process is always mostly about growing, in me growing. My topic is uniquely invaluable. And I love the topic this year. Set your heart on the kingdom of heaven, maturing in his love. I want you to know that you matter. You matter to God. You matter to me. You matter. You're important. I want to show you my first picture. I'm a grandma, and every grandma has to brag a little bit, right? This is my little granddaughter. She calls me Gaga. I adore her. She wants to be just like me. And I love playing with her because I have such a child heart. Can you see okay? And she wants to copy me. And you know, that's kind of sobering to me, because if she wants to copy me, that means I better watch what I'm doing. Nancy Haney says, you know, there's something about your granddaughter. Now, she has not met her before, but she said she's a Point of Hope or wannabe. And she is. She's six now. I'll have you turn to the next picture. And this is what she looks like today. Isn't she precious? So I have a job to do to be that example, maturing in his love. I have so much vision for her, so many words that I know in my heart for her, that they are hers, and I'm praying them in. And I'm going to be consistent and deliberate about seeing that happen. But, you know, I would love to give her everything I want to give her now. I would love to give her my finances, my wisdom, my knowledge that I've learned, and all the things that I've gained through life, my experiences. But that wouldn't be too smart, would it? Really, just when she's not quite ready to handle my finances or know all the things that I know, she wouldn't quite understand. So the theme of our conference, maturing in his love, it's a process. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the peace and the presence. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and just reveal and touch and speak and have your way today. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Well, this is going to be my story, and so I can tell it any way I want to. But my story is, if you wanted to know the truth about me, I didn't understand something. I didn't understand I was valuable, let alone invaluable or important. You see, the world would say, anyone can do what you can do, you know. And you can be replaced. And I knew that I was replaceable. There, I came from a very big family and always tried to get, you know, that front row. But, you know, there was a lot of kids in our family. So my story would be, I tried to do what I could do to fit in, to be approved of, and to work hard to find value. That's really not a very good way to do things. I did performance. I tried to copy the world system of doing things. So I was a slave at trying to fit in with the world system. You know what happens when you do that? You get really tired. You get really beat up. But this is the way it's always done. This is the way we're going to do it. And I had a job that I loved, and I worked for the airlines for a long time. And I was out to be the best employee they ever had. And I was. I got awards. But you know, I knew when I retired from the airlines that I was replaced quickly. And when I went to the airport, people never even knew I had even worked at the airport. You know, I could be replaced. I could be replaced. And I knew that. Anybody could do what I could do. And they also could get the awards and the trophies. But you know what? God's system says different. Out of frustration of trying to be approved and trying to live to be a quality person, you make the wrong decisions out of that place rather than what's right and wrong. And you tend to just do what everybody does because that's what everybody does. You don't even know why you do it. You don't even really question it. It's just always been done that way. John 6, 28 and 29 says, well, actually, it's a scripture about the disciples. And the disciples were walking along with Jesus. Jesus was always trying to paint pictures or parables of stories to tell the disciples about this kingdom that he lived in. And the disciples were scratching their heads, going, I don't get it. I don't get what this kingdom is. Just tell us what to do, Jesus. And can we go there? And Jesus would say, yes, you can go there. And he said to the disciples, what you can do to go to this kingdom, as they're walking along, scratching their heads, trying to figure it out, is it's not about what you do, but it's about believing in the one that he has sent. Well, that really made them scratch their heads because they thought, well, no, just tell us what to do. Just tell us what to do. That's how I was doing life. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it and I'll be the best. You need coffee? I'll get coffee. I'm a servant heart. And so because I'm a servant heart, I will do anything to make you happy, almost anything, within reason. I was raised in a church and I loved church. Big family. There were seven of us that would come to the church service and we would go down the aisle and here came my family. And all the people knew that when we came, they had to save a row for us because we had a large family. But I loved church. I worked in the nursery. I loved the kids. I loved playing the piano for the choir and singing in the choir, working in the kitchen with the ladies. I just loved church. And there too, I wanted to do what I could do. I had it backwards. I set my mind on the things of the world, you might say, or the world system. You know, when you come to the end of yourself kind of time, when you're working so hard to be approved of, you just don't even know who you are. You get really lost. And I'd like to say right here, I didn't know who I was until Nancy introduced me to myself. And I really didn't. She had to show me who I was because I was just what everybody wanted me to be, I think. But I did come to the end of myself, to a place where there's got to be more. There's got to be something more. This is just not fulfilling to me. What have I missed? Well, there is more. Let me tell you what happened to me. I had a divine encounter. Well, that sounds pretty crazy and supernatural, and it was supernatural. It was crazy, and it was wild. I came to a meeting a lot like this one here that we're having, a conference. My mother talked me into it. She was involved in an aglow kind of a thing, and I didn't really think it was kind of my comfort zone. They did things like raise their hands, and they sang, you know, funny songs, and that just didn't quite fit into my little box of thinking. But when you're at the end of yourself, you'll try these things. And plus, I wanted to please my mom. So I attended. I went. Something happened. When I walked in, I met him. I met him. Ah, who was he? I don't know. But when I walked in, there was a presence there I had never experienced. I've been in church all my life. This was never there. There were people that looked at me and they looked right through me and they liked me for who I was. They didn't need to know who I was or what I had done. They took me for myself. The atmosphere was really different. Listen, I wasn't ready for that. I just kind of came across or happened to just walk into the presence of the Lord and I had never experienced peace. Wow, is this what it's all about? Now, since Jesus paints pictures, I found a picture. And it's a picture of what I felt like happened to me when I had this encounter. I live in Ketchikan, Alaska. I said it rained 6 feet there, and my husband said, Debbie, it's double that. It's 12 feet a year. Well, that's a lot of rain. And you know, we walk around in raincoats. You've been there. And we have boots on. My shoes were just boots. I had a million different kinds of boots because you're just tired of getting wet. And hair, you just are messy all the time. You have coats with hoods. And usually, When the sun comes out, you really do feel like, what is that? And so it's a picture of Ketchikan. It's a postcard I found that I kept for years and years, but it says in the caption on the bottom, sunshine terrorizes Southeast Alaska residents. I mean, it really sunshines that little. Uda and I were talking today, and she goes, I just don't know how you could have lived in that long. And I went, I don't either. I finally took my hood off, and you know, you just do what you do when you're raised that way. You just become who your environment is. But that's my God encounter. If Jesus could write a parable or show a picture, this is how I felt like. I thought, what is this? It terrorized me. I wanted to run, but I also wanted to stay because this was the best thing I'd ever tasted. What was this? It was such a light. And what was the light? It was in my heart. It was something in me that was called the manifested presence of the Lord. It was the light of Christ. It was the invaluable one. It was, I encountered God. Did anybody else know? No, probably not. But I probably was in the back row with my jaw to the ground going, what just happened? I just didn't know. I took my hood off. What I understood right away, as soon as I was sitting there listening to those women share their stories and their testimonies, they were just like me. They felt like me. They had acceptance with Jesus, the only place that you could find acceptance. And I realized I had a lot of forgiving to do. The light of Christ showed up in my heart and showed me what was in my heart. Oh my gosh, who is she? Did I want to know that? And I had to go around and ask for forgiveness for a lot of people for a time. But the healing that came most of all was the healing of my mind. Do you know the greatest healing, the greatest miracle of all is salvation? That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest healing. And I found salvation that night. If that was true, if that said I could have everything that these people said I could have, if the Bible said that was real, I cannot not have this. I am that desperate to know the truth. I need this like nobody else, I felt. But you see, it was an individual decision. It wasn't up to my mom and dad. I went to church for so many years, but never heard I had to give my heart to Jesus, to give him permission to come in and invade my heart with his light. I just didn't get that. But I got it, and I took it, and I took it with all my heart, and I have never looked back. Gone through much struggle and pain to get to this place so far, and I have much more to go. But I tell you what, it's the best thing I've ever, ever done in my life. Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That was pretty exciting to me because I had to learn how to think different. I had an upside-down kingdom according to what I had been learning, so I had to learn backwards. I kind of been known to do things backwards, so it was kind of, I get this. This makes sense to me. No wonder I was so out of balance. I really was doing things wrong. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. In other words, Nancy's saying, those blessed assurances, those promises, so that through him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. My evil desire was to follow the world and to try and be accepted. I could never be accepted in the world. I could never do enough. So you know what? I was really glad to let that go. And I did. I let that go. If you like me, that's wonderful. But if you don't, it's okay. I'm accepted. I met the most invaluable one. But there in that scripture, it says he's invisible. You can't see him. You really can't. But you can't see air either, right? Or wind. But he's very real. It's like kind of a conscience does. And that rudder began starting up in my life. The focus was off of me. How about that? Life began getting good after that. We're going to walk through some parables together. And if you go with me in your Bibles, let's look at Matthew chapter 13. We're going to kind of camp out there. We'll go back and forth. But it's chapter 13. We're going to start with verse 44. And it talks all about the kingdom. And Jesus is painting a picture for these parables. Get this, you guys. Look at it this way. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, I love digging into the word and just taking it piece by piece. So to me, in the beginning, it says the kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus is saying, okay, it's going to be like this. If you were to look at me and say Debbie Andries is like Nancy Haney, that would be a compliment, but that would paint you a picture. Oh, I get it. She's one of those charismatics. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field. So that also tells me the kingdom of heaven is like it's hidden. Nobody, not everyone, will see it for what it is. It's hidden. You see, I didn't see it. I didn't see it until my time came. I was sitting in church hearing the Bible. My mother had scriptures all over the house, always telling me about the goodness of God, memorizing scriptures. I had the Bible scriptures memorized, but I didn't see the kingdom. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. It wasn't my time. You see, my picture of my granddaughter, there's a way where her life being small, she couldn't understand at a year old very much. She understands a lot more about Jesus now when I talk to her. It's a process. But God, I have to, just like God, wait to tell her certain things for her to understand what God is all about. And I'll tell her in little doses. God did that for me. He let me fall on my face and have little doses of him to understand the promises were good. There is a blessed assurance. So my time came at that meeting. My time was then. He knew my time, I would recognize the power, the love, the presence, and his very being. God waits for you and your maturity and for you to be able to get to a time where you recognize him. I was at the end of myself. I was ready to start anything. I would have joined probably a lot of groups, but God protected me too out of the wrong groups. He must have been smiling that day, and I could almost hear Jesus looking at the Father as I drove into that meeting, and he looks at the Father and he puts his hands on his hips and he goes, Father, look at Debbie. She's pulling in the driveway. Look at, this is the day. We've been waiting for this time through all eternity. I didn't think she'd ever get here. It seemed long, Father, but look at what we're going to do now. Look at angels. Go help her out of the car. We do not want her turning back. They opened the door for me and they set me down. And as I'm sitting there in shock, they're just smiling. Don't you just see it? When your time comes, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, do it now. Don't wait. This could be your time. This could be your meeting. This could be your weekend. The greatest, greatest is salvation. Turn your life to him. He's the greatest treasure. He's an invisible treasure, but he's the invaluable one. So see, the kingdom of heaven is like it's hidden. Most people aren't going to see it. I did not see it. And that's why a lot of times you can tell people about God and they go, uh-huh. They don't get it. You know why? There's a seed planted. Let the next person come and plant that seed. Boy, my mom had a lot of seeds planted in me. But when that day came, I exploded just like that picture. I knew it. I knew him. I knew that's what it was all about. So it's extremely valuable. God tells us in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flows everything from it. I think I have a heart picture. So when I went home that night, I said, God, this is real. I've tasted you. I've touched you. But now I don't know what to do with this power inside of me. It's so terrifying, exciting to me. I don't know what to do. And first of all, he said, get a Bible. I got a Bible. And I got the most simplistic Bible I could find that read real stories to me. A children's Bible works. And he taught me how to, above all, guard my heart. I was his. He put me in this little mason jar, and he put my heart in there, and he put the lid on, and he said, you're mine now. And we're going to do this together. But above all, guard your heart with everything, because out of it flows the goodness of God. So there comes that time. I cried all night thinking, God, don't let me wake up tomorrow. Please don't wake me up. Let me wake up and know that this was just a fun meeting. I have to have this real. I cannot have this be gone tomorrow. So, you know, God takes you then, the next step, to prove and to test you. How does he do that? Hebrews chapter 4. This is what he started with me. The Word of God, it's living. It's alive. Debbie, you and I are going to get full of the Word. Because there's no limit with me and you working together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive. It's alive. It's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Well, because God has been a fun vessel in my life, he talks to me in my own language. And so what I do is I get my journal out, and he said, Debbie, get your pen. I could hear him say that. And I just always have that open. I don't hear it, but if I get my pen, it comes from my pen, and it just starts writing. I don't get that. It's a supernatural thing. But he said, this is how I'm going to read this scripture to you. And I'm going to read it to you how I heard him say. I, the Word, I am alive. I'm a discerner of your thoughts and intentions in your heart. Let me in your heart to be sharp, piercing, and alive in truth. I'll move out those unnecessary things clogging your heart that's stopping you. I listen to hearts. Let me hear your heart holding fast. Let your heart hold fast to my word. You will act and react from it, making right and good decisions. Guard, protect, and watch your heart because it should be full of my word. This is what you guard. All your answers are here. Don't allow anything to steal my word from your heart. With all you've got, guard the word in your heart that are mine. It bubbles, it grows out of this place. It's very exciting. My word will give you life. It will heal you. It will restore you. It will renew you, whatever you need. The tool or the secret? T-I-M-E, time. Spend time with me. The more time, the greater your strength. That's what protects and begins holding you fast to me. I can only feed you little by little, just like eating. You need to chew, to swallow, digest, and give it out. That's why the constant use of time spending with me. You're as big in me as you want to be. You see, there's no limit with me. So see, he talks the word that way to me. I read the word, and then I go away, and I chew on it all day long. I'll take a word, a little word, one sentence, and he'll say, get your pen. And he'll start writing what it means more to him for me that day. And it's like a map. And he says, go from word to word to word. And it's my life story. And I look back on my journals, and there's such an encouragement to me of where I've walked. And I keep track of the faithfulness of God in my life. So now set your heart on the kingdom of heaven. That's how I became more mature in God's love. I got the word of God in me that's alive. It's alive. It's alive. So let's go back to Matthew, if you've still got your finger there. Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. Now, why in the world would somebody hide the word or hide what I had? Why? Why would I get this experience, this supernatural encounter? Why would I hide that? Because God wants to take time with you to get that really rooted in you before you go out, or you would be so shallow, you might get what looks like God, but you might not see the real thing. It's really important to get grounded. And there again, getting that word of God, getting it hidden in your heart, just like a treasure. If I had something given to me, and I've got some beautiful jewelry from family, and it's so valuable, I won't wear it. So it's in a safety deposit box. And my mother-in-law said, now, don't you put this in a safety deposit box. You wear it. And I think, well, it's not quite me, but it's so valuable. I want to hide it. But see, that's, I know, that it. What's the reasoning on that, you know? But you should enjoy it. She wanted to bless me with these things. But you know, that's how God is. Don't put it in a safety deposit box, but keep it hidden until the appointed time. The world system would say, hide your faith, hide your faith. But God says, let me be your faith first, or you're going out in your own steam. You don't benefit anybody, and especially him. So hide the word. And that's how the secret was discovered of where my true treasure was. And I got rooted and grounded in him. And now, that irresistible time with him, I don't care if it's night or day, I can't wait to meet him. He'll wake me up, or he'll just say, you need to sleep. But it's always, I just love his time. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one, of great value, he went away. And let me try this again. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The story continues, mapping that out. When I found Jesus and I got the word in me, I wanted everybody in the world to be saved. I wanted everybody to know. But you see, there was a maturity that was involved. Okay, when I was first saved, I didn't spend quite enough time in the word. I'd go bound out and I'd forget to come back and get the word more in me. And I was preaching to everybody. I was telling my mom and dad how to get saved, and they'd been saved for years. I mean, I would tell a fence post. I would just like, I lived in a logging camp where there was just a handful of people and just that simple life. And I brought my piano and a barge out to my little trailer in my camp. And I was out to save that camp. And, you know, I smile back now, and I was probably pretty obnoxious, but I wanted everybody to hear the word and get it out. And then when I matured, I you know, still had people come back and thank me for it. And I think, oh, God, you're so full of grace. Blessed assurance. You know, but I was obnoxious. I really was. I've tried to calm down a little bit, but that fire is hot inside of me, and I've tried to yield more. But this kingdom of heaven is like merchant looking for fine pearls. There's an S on that, pearls. That tells me that it's all about multiplication. It's about you and me doing this together for the great pearl at great price. It's about discovering, having that supernatural experience with God and then learning your DNA with him. And then going out and finding with him those other treasures like you. You see, what I've discovered is you are so valuable to me because you are so valuable to him. And I am better because I've known you. I am better because I know you. I need you in my life. And I pray you need me because you see, you have a piece of something that I don't have. And I value that strength. And I hope I can give you strength of what maybe you might need. We need each other. We're all so unique, and that's what's so great about it. I'm not going to dress like maybe anybody else, but, you know, isn't that fun to just be an individual? I'm an individual now, and now I'm extravagantly invaluable, just like you. My story continues. You see, if you want to know how my story would go today, I know I have value. I know who the value is, and it's the one that lives inside of me. It's not me at all. I only give him what I am that he desires. I'm unique, and I'm irresistible, and so are you. You cannot be replaced because you're the only person that can do the job that God has set you to do. You're irreplaceable. You're the only one. He broke the mold when he made you. God loves to teach me things about him in very natural ways, just like this story with the street. And I see God everywhere. I just see God everywhere. And my story, I had a fear that I was trying to conquer. Me and Jesus were trying to deal with this. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. But then when you would come up against tough things, it would be like, there's the fear again. So my story is about adventure. There's a saying that Helen Keller wrote, adventure is avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. And you know, I've adopted that by Helen Keller because, wow, did she face some fears? How did she do that? And that's what I say, it's all or nothing. So my story is, my husband wanted to learn to fly, but I had a fear of flying. Mm-hmm. So, honey, you go ahead and you go fly, but, you know, just knock yourself out. That's fine. He got his miles, his time in on the ground for his groundwork done. And so then he wanted to take me flying. We went to a mobile oil convention one year. And in this mobile convention, usually after the meetings, they offer benefits of you can go shop, you could go to the museum, or you could have these little horseback riding or gliding or whatever. And my husband came back after the meeting and he said, Debbie, would you go gliding with me? And you see, me and Jesus have been working on this perfect love casts out fear. And so I went, yeah, you know, because I wanted to challenge God with that blessed assurance that was real, because I trusted God, but did I? So I thought, yeah, okay. So I said yes. To his surprise, he was so proud of me. I went to the lineup, and there were so many people that signed up for this class of the gliding. And, okay, let me explain what it is. Now, in Alaska, where we come from, they have little float planes. So they have, it's like a little float plane without pontoons, and they have a rope, and they take your little two-seater plane without an engine, and they pull it up to the sky really, really, really high till you get the air currents, and then they let go of the rope, and then you just glide, right? Yeah, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even go with my husband with an engine airplane. And so there were so many people lined up that I was in the last group. And I thought, God, you are so good. You are so faithful. All I had to do was say yes. We're not going. I just had to say yes. It will be dark by the time they get to my group. Well, they got to my group. They got to my group, and Dave went in his little plane with his pilot. It's a two-seater with a little see-through bubble over you. They put one in front, one in back. I got put in the front with my pilot was in the back. And then the engineer plane went up. Dave got in his with his pilot, but he also was a pilot at that time. He understood air currents. I didn't. So we're going up and up and up, and I thought, okay, this is a good day to die, right? This is the test. This is how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to pass this test. Perfect love casts out fear. They let go of the rope, and I'm telling you, it didn't drop like I thought it would, and we just caught the wind currents, and it was the most magnificent experience I'd ever had up to date in my life. And it was like, I could hardly breathe, but I was really enjoying it. And there comes my husband with his daredevil pilot, and they zoomed under us. They went in front of us. His pilot was piloting his plane, but my pilot, he let me pilot the plane. And I went, no, that's okay. And he goes, no, you got it. And I'm thinking, this is life and death. But isn't that a story of Jesus? It's life and death. Are you going to do it or not? So I did, and it was exhilarating. So then I get home, and in not too long of a time, my husband says, how about we buy an airplane? So it's like, oh, great, I'm still not over this test. So little by little, yes, we bought an airplane, and he began flying. And even if I just got in to help pilot the airplane and learn everything there was to do to sit in the cockpit, he would just take me on little flights. And then pretty soon, I would be asking him, Dave, can we go fly? And we used to call it, let's go get in the presence, because the flying was so wonderful up there. And it got to be where I worked through perfect love casts out fear. If you have a fear, but there's one more story. So now there's been years we've sold our airplane. And I'm thinking, yeah, I think I'm doing okay with it. I love to fly. I'm flying all over the world now. No wonder I had to conquer flying. So then we go to Switzerland just last month. So we get there, and we get to the highest place in the Swiss Alps, and my husband says, Debbie, would you do some hand gliding with me? And there's all these hand gliders, and they're just beautiful. In fact, I have a picture of it, what it looks like. And I'm thinking, that's the Swiss Alps, and we're way down here, you know. And I'm thinking, I thought I passed this test, but God will come back and prove you in that test. And so I said, I'm sure we can do this. I've seen a lot of other people land, and they landed on their feet. So up we go. We get in this Jeep, and we get up this tall mountain, and the guy that's my guy, there's two of us in here, I'm on the side, and I'm, of course, you could do it afraid, just do it if you are to do it. And so we got to a very high. There's another one. I mean, it's way up there. The Swiss Alps. I mean, could we have done this in Ketchikan where the mountains weren't so high? So we get up there at the top, and then you get to the edge of a mountain, and it's kind of got a path, and he goes, what you're going to do, I've got this. You're just going to run as fast as you can and just go jump off that mountain. And I'm thinking, yeah. He goes, can you run? And I said, I did a marathon once. And he goes, perfect. Start running. And I'm thinking, this is life and death. This is, are you going to believe or not? Are you going to believe or not? So I ran, and my husband's in his thing there, that kite, and they let me go first. He said that he went first, but I didn't see anything but that tip of that mountain. And I ran, and I went off, and I held my breath, and I went, God, this is a great day to die. I passed the test again in the Swiss Alps. But you know, again, they had all these beautiful villages down there, and it was exhilarating. But why I say that is, that's how God is. That's the experience of the Holy Spirit wind in your life. It's life and death decisions every day. And the Word of God, that's why the Word of God has to be in you. Because when whoever asks you to jump off of a mountain, are you going to say yes to God when he says, are you going to go to New Zealand? Are you going to go to West Virginia? Believing is no longer an option. You just have to believe or not. It's all or nothing, just like Helen Keller. And I'd like to end it with a quote from Rick Joyner. Because I want to ask you, what is your mountain? What mountain? It might not be a literal mountain. It might be just learning to drive a car. But he would say, in a book I was reading, I think it was The Path, there is a bigger lion in us. And who's that? That's the Lion of Judah. If you do not learn to face the lions out there, you will be running from them the rest of your life. If you do not case them, they will case you far from your purpose, and you'll die in the wilderness. So the opposite of fear is love. I want to conquer fear because I need to have all the love in my life I can have, because I can't get through life without that. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have any questions?